Welcome to the Ministry Marks podcast. My name is Thomas Majors, and I'm joined by David Haynes.
Hey,
David.
Hey, Thomas. What's going on today, buddy?
Oh, not much. It's good to see you.
Man, it is good to see you also. Thomas, we're recording podcasts today, and as soon as I showed up this morning, I noticed something is different about you. You have a haircut.
I do. There's a little glare up there. There's no hair.
The last time we recorded, man, you were rocking this sweet mullet. I mean, rocking it like you worked at the quarry. I mean, it was nice. But you have cut your hair off.
Well, it's officially motorcycle riding season.
Yeah, I noticed as I pulled up at the prestigious Inglemore Baptist Church, there was a beautiful motorcycle outside. So you rode in this morning.
That's right, yes. And when I got the mullet, I have helmet hair. And so to get rid of the helmet hair,
Just cut all your hair off.
Just cut it all off. Don't have no hair.
And Thomas, there's something else significant that happened. Recently, you were on vacation, which is rare. Us preachers work at typically 50 Sundays out of the year, but you were off on a Sunday, and it just so happened to be that it was a very significant day for the Majors family. Update our listeners on what happened.
Yeah, so I got to go and hear Tom. Tom is my oldest son. He was licensed to the ministry by First Baptist New Albany about 2 years or 3 years ago, and he just got called to his first position. He's a licensed to the ministry, so I don't know if I would call him a minister or a pastor or something like that, but he's music leader at Sherman Baptist Church, and so he got to have his first Sunday, and he had his first choir practice just this past week, and I talked to him yesterday. He was really excited about having 10 people in his choir that are going to be there to sing this coming Sunday, and so he's really excited.
That's good. You know, I talked to Tom in the hallway of Blue Mountain College, Blue Mountain Christian University, just a few weeks ago. I was there to teach a class from New Orleans, and you had just told me that he was going to Sherman, and I saw him, and I went up, and I said, man, congratulations, and I'm so glad that it fell, that your pre-planned vacation. You guys were out of town, and then you came back in the day before Sunday or whatever, and you were off on that Sunday. You had Pulpit Supply lined up, and it just happened to be his first Sunday there, and it worked out where you were able to hear him.
Yeah, the Lord really worked that out for us. That's the providence of the Lord in our life. And we started not to go because he said he would be nervous, but then on Sunday morning, I just woke up and was like, I don't care if he likes it or not. I'm going. Yeah. He's not going to stop me.
Well, you know, Thomas, during that service at Sherman Baptist Church, I wonder what your son Tom would have thought if he had heard your voice during the worship service. If you had said amen real loud, or if you'd have said, boy, you ain't singing that right.
Straighten up, boy.
You know, there's something about our voices. There's something about the voice of our parents. I know my dad, my mom's voice. I know their voice. I can almost tell from the moment I answer my phone if something good has happened, something bad has happened, something big has happened. I can almost tell in their voices just from the immediate kind of what's going on. Now, are you like that? Are there significant voices in your life?
Oh, yeah. I can. When I talk to Amanda, I know whether she's mad or if she's upset. I can hear it in her voice.
You know how I can tell if April's mad? Every time she speaks.
No.
I'd be in trouble if she listened to this podcast.
So. Good thing she doesn't listen, right?
That's right.
Same for my wife.
Oh, that's terrible. But yes, we can tell significant things just from hearing a person's voice.
And
go ahead.
And usually, like if you call in someplace, even if you don't know that person, you know, you can hear if somebody's smiling or not when they're talking.
Yes, you sure can. You sure can.
That's strange, isn't it?
That is really weird.
Now, yeah. I think some people can fake it.
Yeah.
I think there's some preachers out there that can fake it.
Yeah. I agree. But hey, I think it is a positive thing. My grandmother, after the very first time I preached, she gave me some advice. She would have been in her, I guess, her 80s at the time. And she gave me some advice. She said, David, whenever you get up to the pulpit, she said, you need to smile. If you'll smile, the congregation will smile back at you. And I thought, oh, that is fantastic advice.
Yeah.
And I try to make it a point whenever I'm saying, turn to Philippians chapter 3 in your Bible, I try to smile just so that it sets the sermon on a positive note, puts us on a good footing.
And some preachers have a scowl. Sometimes when I'm preaching, I think to myself, you're scowling.
Yeah.
I just remember what you said one time.
I'm sorry.
We were listening.
You know what I'm about to say. I know what you're about to say.
We were listening to a preacher and he had this sour look on his face the whole time. And it was strange because it was almost out of character. Yeah. And David said, he had a face like he had been sniffing a fart. Or he had sniffed a fart.
Exactly. Yes. That's exactly what he looked like.
And after you said that, it was true. It was his eyes were squinted, his nose was squinted up, his mouth was squinted up. It was like he was trying to keep that aroma from getting into his mouth, his nose, right. His eyes.
That's how he preached the entire sermon. Oh boy.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he had not internalized his words.
Yeah, maybe.
And
not.
His words were leaving and pungent aroma as they came out of his mouth.
It was an aroma, all right. So Thomas, thinking about instrumental voices and hearing words and seeing someone smile just through their words, have you ever overheard something and maybe no one knew you were there?
Oh, yes, I have. It happened today. Okay, so today, as I was coming here to meet you, I stopped by a bank and I was on my motorcycle. So I just pulled up to the window. I usually like going inside to any bank I go to because I was on the motorcycle, helmet and all that sort of thing. I just pulled up and I gave the lady I was paying like a bill at the bank. And so I gave the lady the bill and I was just sitting there. I turned my motorcycle off. So it wasn't real loud. And I heard a person's phone connect to their vehicle and it was loud.
Yes.
And it was, I'm guessing, a lady in his life, probably his wife, who said, "All of our debit cards are not working." And he started to pull off from the thing. And then he looked over at me because he recognized I heard. And so he was rushing to try to get to get his phone disconnected from his vehicle. But yeah, I overheard it.
Yeah.
And sometimes we overhear good things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we overhear bad things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have overheard people talking about me and it be good.
That's right. Yeah.
And those are the kind that you want to hear a little bit longer, you know? You know what that reminds me of?
What's that remind you?
Wasn't there a preacher who was going around listening to the...
Oh, absolutely.
Security. Yes.
Do you remember the story? There was a pastor, supposedly, whose church had installed security cameras like in the Sunday school rooms and in the rooms of the church. And the security company that installed the cameras let the pastor and only the pastor know that the security cameras had a listening, they you could enable listening. They also had microphones. And he was the only one who knew it. And supposedly, he was going behind after Sunday schools and after small group meetings, D group meetings, and was listening to what people were saying. And he was found out. Guess what happened to that pastor, Thomas?
I think he's still there, isn't he?
No, he was run off. He done been runned off, buddy.
R-E-N-N-O-F-T, run off.
That is right. He ain't even in the state of Mississippi anymore, buddy.
Why would you even do that? I mean, I know that's not what this podcast is about, but why would you even do that? Because I would not be able to sleep at night knowing what people said about me.
Absolutely. I don't want to know. But Thomas, for some, it's intriguing. It's intriguing to have an inside scoop. It's intriguing to know what's being said as if you're not listening. Let's just see what is happening. Let's catch these people in their natural setting and let's see what they're saying.
That's crazy. Have you ever heard anybody talk and where you shouldn't have heard?
I absolutely have. And I often think about it from the opposite perspective. Hey, Haynes, keep your mouth shut. Your big fat mouth, keep it shut. My wife years ago, whenever we were in high school, she got a job working in a pharmacy. And there was an older lady that worked at that pharmacy who had been there for a number of years. And the older lady took my wife aside and said, "Let me tell you something. These walls have ears. Anything you say will be heard. And so I'm often reminded of that. I've heard things I shouldn't have heard. And I guarantee you, I've said things that I should not have said in a way where they could be overheard. It happens. It happens.
I was watching King of the Hill last night.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember King of the Hill?
I have seen King of the Hill. It's that cartoon. That cartoon show, right?
Yeah. People who live in Texas. Yeah.
Thomas, how old are you? And you still listen, you still watch cartoons. Huh?
I do, yes. All right, so so Hank, Bill, and Dale, all while they were teenagers, stole Boomhauer's car and ran it off into the quarry.
The quarry.
You said something about the quarry earlier. And so they're trying to act like they didn't do it. And Bobby overhears Hank telling them, overhears Hank saying something that he shouldn't have said. And so Bobby calls Boomhauer and tells him, hey, if you want to know what happened to your car all those years ago, you need to come down to the quarry. And all of that happened because Bobby overheard Hank saying something that he shouldn't have said.
Yeah, yeah. Man, that is interesting. That is really something. All right, Thomas. So we've been talking about like accidentally overhearing something. Is there something in scripture that you would want to purposefully overhear? Like if you could be a fly
yes.
on the wall. Really?
Well, considering that Easter is coming up this Sunday, I think I would like to be at the tomb.
So you'd want to hear maybe the voices at the tomb?
The voices at the tomb. That's exactly what I would like to hear. Maybe they didn't know that I was there.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'm a phasm.
That's easy for you to say. What is that?
Maybe I'm like a ghost, a fly on the wall, if
gotcha.
You will.
Gotcha.
And I can overhear. What's some voices that I might would hear on that day?
Oh, wow. So some voice. Okay, so immediately my mind goes to the ladies who were at the tomb. You know, Jesus had men who were in his ministry, the disciples. But dude, he had large crowds of thousands of people at sometimes, and then a small crowd of 120. But dude, there were often ladies who were there. So my mind initially goes to the women who would have been at the tomb. What the Bible tells us, they were going out there to anoint the body with spices, aromatic fragrances.
That's
and
right.
spices.
Yep.
You know, the embalming process that we have now wasn't a thing back then. It was different. And so they were going there to serve a purpose. So they were carrying spices. And do you recall what they were even saying? I mean, how are we going to get in the tomb?
Right.
There's that large rock. And so I think that these ladies, these couple of ladies were concerned that they wouldn't be strong enough to get in the tomb. So I would want the initial voices at the tomb would have been, if you're back far away enough, would have been, how are we going to get in? Which tomb was it again? Oh yeah, we go here. We turn there. Oh, it's that tomb right there. Joseph of Arimathea is his tomb. It's that freshly hewn, quickly dug, maybe quickly, I don't know, fresh tomb.
I wonder if they were upset. You talk about hearing emotions in their voices.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that a moment ago. I wonder if they would have had some emotion. What type of emotion do you think you would have heard in their voices?
Right. Okay. So that's a very good question. So at the resurrection morning, this is less than 48 hours, but more than 24 hours. Okay. So more than 24 hours since the death of Jesus.
Also think about their culture too.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's right. Okay. So on the Sabbath, that's what you're talking about. On the Saturday Sabbath, they would have been limited in their interactions. They'd have been limited in the distance they traveled, all those things, right?
But also their grieving process is a lot different than ours.
Oh, it would have been. It would have been. So you would have had hired mourners. You remember when Jesus went in to raise the girl, hired mourners. But now this, there were no hired mourners at the tomb of Jesus.
But if they weren't hired, but they probably are the mourners.
I completely agree. They would have been mourning. And I think after the 24 hour, golly, man. But okay, so I think some of the shock would have subsided. Way back when, did you ever watch the Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of the Christ,
yeah.
or Passion, you know, whatever it was? Dude, it was shocking to see that. to see that movie and the brutality. Now, I understand the world in which they live, there might have been more brutality, not fictitious brutality like we would see in a movie or on a television screen. Some of they might have been a little more accustomed to it. But, dude, seeing your Lord and Savior brutally crucified, jarring and shocking. So I think by Sunday morning, some of the shock would have left, and there would have been sadness. There would have been grieving.
Another thing to consider too, I mean, we're talking about maybe them having a sense of fear, a sense of mourning. Imagine walking up to the tomb that day, and then as you get there, and I'm assuming you get there, and almost as soon as you get there, there's an angel that appears, and there are people lying on the ground as dead men.
Man, I mean, that would be shocking. It would be shocking.
It'd be very shocking. Yeah. And it says in Matthew chapter 28 that the guards shook for fear of him, that is the angel, and became like dead men. So they were laying there on the ground when the women walked up.
Yeah, O-U-T out. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, and as you and I have been reading this, it is putting into perspective. I think I had previously thought about that incorrectly. I had thought that the guards maybe had already left, or the guards that this earthquake would have already happened. But in Matthew 28, it seems to be just very quick in sequential order.
I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Every passion play that I've ever seen shows the tomb rolling away and Jesus stepping out of the tomb.
Yes.
Do you think Jesus stepped out of the tomb?
Absolutely not.
I don't think so either right now.
At Eureka Springs, Arkansas, passion play, bad theology. Yeah, because he was already gone, man.
I think he was already gone. It was empty.
Yeah.
And it was opened to show.
Yeah.
The ladies, not for
Absolutely.
Jesus to get out.
And I think there's a part of scripture that will support our idea that Jesus is already gone, because whenever Mary saw Jesus, she initially thought he was the gardener. You know, some will say through tears, and sure, maybe because her tears or her eyesight's not the best, but it's because he wasn't in the tomb. If he had been in the tomb, she would have, I think, recognized him as Jesus. I think he is on the outside. And I think maybe that's why she thought he would have been the gardener, because the gardener would have been on the outside of the tomb.
We know that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, but there's some other ladies that come too. But there's also, and we've mentioned this person before, but we haven't necessarily said this is a voice that you would hear at the tomb. The angel.
The angel. Yeah.
Do we agree that this is an angel?
Yes, I think this is a literal angel. I don't think this is just a messenger of someone who has. I think this is a literal angel who literally speaks to the ladies and literally tells the good news of Jesus' resurrection.
Uh-huh. So I wonder what an angel sounds like.
I think he's going to have a Northeast Mississippi dialect, is what I think. Hey, y'all, come in here and look. He gone.
He gone.
That's the way I think it. I don't know. What would he have? Okay. What language would he have spoke, Mr. Greek scholar? Would he have been?
I think he would have spoke their language.
Which would have been?
He doesn't have the problem of Babel.
You're right. I agree. So what was their language? Would it have been Hebrew?
I think it would have been Aramaic.
Okay, it would have been Aramaic. Okay.
That's what I think.
I think
in that time they mainly spoke Aramaic. They studied the Hebrew scriptures, but the reason they have the Septuagint is because many of the Jewish people didn't know Hebrew anymore, and so they started studying the Hebrew scriptures in Greek.
Hey, because got you. It was easier to study Greek.
Yeah, because they talked Aramaic, spoke Aramaic, and then read some Greek. And so I think he would have probably been speaking Aramaic to them.
Okay.
Or they would have heard at least Aramaic. That's what I believe.
Oh, they would have heard Aramaic. That's interesting. So you're almost stepping into the idea of angels can speak in whatever, and it is then heard by the ear of the listener. If you have ears to hear, come and hear, kind of.
That, and, you know, in Acts chapter 2, it talks about that some people believe, you know, I don't know if I believe this or not. I know that there were tongues cloven with fire above their head. Each man spoke, but then it says, and we heard them each in our own language.
Yeah.
So let's just assume that Peter was speaking, and Peter was speaking it makes it sound like that there could have been people of multiple different things, and they heard Peter, but then they heard in their own language.
The tongues was of their ears. They were able to interpret. Something that's interesting that I thought of, on Wednesday nights at First Baptist, we're going through the book of Revelation. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, we went through Revelation 14. And I think it's Revelation 14 that an angel goes and makes an announcement about Babylon has fallen. And I mentioned a little bit about how will the recipients hear it, because this angel would be announcing to many nationalities, many different people. And so I think the angel speaks and God enables the hearer to understand Babylon has fallen, all those kind of things. So this would be similar to that idea where the angel is speaking and the people are hearing in whatever their native tongue or ear is.
If God can confuse the languages of men in a second, then I think he can allow people to understand also.
Do you remember the great Dr. Bain? You remember
yes.
him? I don't remember who that was that followed him at Blue Mountain College, but we all remember Dr. Bain.
He wasn't great.
The guy who followed him was not. Yeah. So Dr. Bain, do you remember what Dr. Bain called Pentecost? Do you remember?
No.
He called it Babel Revisited. Babel Revisited. And you know, he always said, he didn't say Babel, he said Babel, but he would call Pentecost Babel Revisited, where at Babel or Babel, it was the confusion of languages, but at Pentecost, it was the reunification of languages through the Spirit. So
in church history, when I go through the beginning of the church, I talk about how we have the reversal of languages. I don't remember him calling it that, but I do talk about that being the reversal of languages.
And
we see that God is, what used to be a hindrance, God is removing that hindrance so that the gospel can go out to all the nations. And it last word we have in Acts is unhindered, because the gospel is going out unhindered.
All right. So what do you think? Did the angel at the tomb speak in Aramaic, or did the angel just speak and they heard him?
I have no idea.
Man, I wish you would have known. So I don't either. Oh my goodness. But that is a very good thought. Okay, so the angel made the announcement about Jesus. Who are some other voices we might hear?
We know the angel tells Mary Magdalene, go tell, or maybe it's just go tell his disciples. And so she leaves and to go get the disciples, and she tells Peter and John, and something happens.
Yes. A foot race ensued.
Who won the foot race?
Well, if memory serves me correctly, it was the younger and not the elder. Is that correct? Who was the youngest of the disciples, we think?
John,
that's right, man. Oh, John was booking it.
Who started out first?
Oh, who started out for Peter? Was it Peter?
It says it was Peter.
I forgot. So Peter left out. Peter had a little bit of a head start. Huh?
Peter had a head start. And he was always jumping into things. He would jump into the water.
That's right.
Swim. As soon as they say it, he begins to run. Then John begins to run.
Yeah.
But John's quicker.
John is quicker.
He's swift.
He's a little bit younger, possibly a little bit thinner, maybe a little bit better in shape. And sure enough, he beats him to the tomb.
He beats him to the tomb.
Yeah.
And then he stops at the door.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What would the initial sound be like? I think I know. I think if it was me and you, and we raced any distance. Let's say you and I had a quarter mile race. Have you seen that meme about I went on a hike and it is the sound of a camel that is dying? And that's what you sound
that's
like.
That's what I would sound like.
Yes. So I think it's going to be at 35, 40 seconds of them huffing and puffing and trying to get their breath again. And can't you just see the angel saying, good grief. This announcement was so much better with the ladies. Why did I tell them to go get the disciples? Here these guys have raced and they can't even breathe.
But John doesn't go into the tomb.
Right.
But Peter does.
So why do you think John hesitated? Is it because of an awe? Is he standing in awe? Is he wanting to wait on Peter? Is he giving Peter the nod? Peter, why don't you go in first? Because Peter, you're the leader of this outfit.
Let's put it into context of their time and their culture. if he goes in there, he's contaminated. There's a
dead body. They think
there's a dead body in there.
Yeah.
And if he goes in there, then in some way he has to perform the ceremonial cleansing afterwards. I wonder if that is a kind of a nod saying, yeah, I beat him, but
yeah,
I didn't go in.
You know, and the ladies were going in for the purpose of doing the spices,
to anoint the body.
There you go. And that was not his role. And so he just went and then stopped. That's interesting.
Peter ran on in.
Yeah. I mean, of course, if anybody's going to run on in, charge right in like a bull in a china shop, it's going to be Peter. So did Peter charge in like a bull in a china shop?
Yeah, I think so. That's the way I see it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I see him jumping out of the boat, you know, when he sees Jesus later on. I see him just running into the tomb. I see him always acting on emotion more than on logic.
Absolutely. And I am an emotional actor. I am that. And so I completely agree with you. All right. So what would Peter have said when he first went in?
I mean, if it was me, all right, I'm gonna just think if it was me, if I ran in, I would go, he's not here. It's empty.
Right.
That's probably be my first words. It's empty.
And then I think what would follow that up is, hey, John, come here. Come here, look at this.
Yeah.
You're not gonna believe this. We know his body was put here, but he's gone.
Where is he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That sort of thing. Who's taking him? Maybe even that idea, like what Mary says later on, you know, where have they placed body of my Lord?
That's right, yeah.
And then we know from the other biblical accounts, the other gospel accounts, that two angels then appear and begin to talk to him.
That's right. Yep. That's right.
That two angels begin to appear and they talk to them, and begin to tell them those things. But, all right, so the angels tell the gospel story first. And then who is the first gospel witness after that?
Who is the first guy? Would it have been Mary Magdalene?
Mary Magdalene.
Right.
A woman.
That's right. That is.
And when you think about the culture then, that Mary, a woman who had seven demons cast out of her, a woman who had a background, a story, a past, gets to be the first gospel witness to the disciples.
Wasn't that something? That is really something. Hey, let me ask you this. Are angels omniscient?
I don't think so.
I completely agree. I don't think so either. So did the angels know about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus before live action? Or did they see it unfold just before Mary, the other Mary, Peter, John? What do you think?
I think they saw it live action and probably even got to hear God the Father or Jesus the Son say, hey, Mary Magdalene and them's coming. Tell them what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some instructions. I think they saw it live action and then they received instructions about what to do, where to be, what to say.
Yeah. Have you ever had one of those moments? I've had a few in my life where I was able, through hindsight, to say, that's one of the reasons why I was born. I was born for that moment right there. I was born for that day. I wonder if these angels, seeing the resurrection just before all the events happened, said, oh yeah, that's what we're here for. This is our purpose. Huh.
All right. So here's another thought. And I know we're getting way off here. Because we're sinful, we're always being deviant to God's will. An angel that has not fallen is always in God's will. Right. And always doing exactly what the Lord wants that angel to do.
Yeah.
So that,
I agree.
So every day of their life.
Yeah.
They're saying,
that's what we're here for. I hadn't even thought about it like that. You're right. So, okay. So would the resurrection have been insignificant in the lives of angels?
No. I think
it's very significant.
I think it's the most significant thing.
But their role would have been insignificant. Oh, yeah. Almost just like any other day. Yeah. Yeah. I hadn't thought about it like that. That's good.
But I think they recognize the significance of the moment.
Oh, had to.
Especially in the realm of creation.
I mean, all of history hinges on the birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus.
That's right. Yeah. Easter's coming up this Sunday. And if you're listening to this podcast, you need to be in church.
Amen. That's right.
You need to be in church this coming Sunday to celebrate the greatest event in human history. A man went into the grave and came out of the grave never to die again.
That's right.
Some people might would say, well, that's happened before. What about those people in the Old Testament that was brought back to life? Or
Lazarus in the New Testament.
What about Lazarus?
Yeah.
They all died again.
Mm, that's right. Yeah. Not Jesus.
He has a resurrected body. He lives forevermore. And everything that he did and everything that he said was all validated by the resurrection.
Yeah, that's right. And we live our lives today through the power of the resurrection, through the power of the Holy Spirit.
So you need to be in church. Jesus is risen.
Amen. And we're going to be celebrating that this Sunday. Well, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in this week. We hope that you join us again next time.